Come one, come all, let's gather and worship. Come one, come all, throw open the door. Come one, come all, the song is beginning. Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord. I lift my eyes unto these hills, Almighty God has made. Each mountain shouts, each valley thrills to sing the Savior's praise.
Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. I will be leading our second service at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon, and all are invited to attend that service. At 3 p.m. this afternoon, our brother Greg Tomlinson will be teaching the continuing study of church history as it has developed over the centuries, a very worthwhile class to attend. And at the 4 p.m. class, which is entitled A Chat with the Pastor, Pastor will resume this afternoon with your questions and with his insights into the Scripture. Everyone is invited to those classes. Associate Pastor Greg Tomlinson will be speaking at the 5 p.m. worship service this afternoon. On Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m., in place of our customary prayer service, the time will be devoted to thanking God, a service of thanksgiving, which will be broadcast live on the internet, will be followed here by a time of fellowship. Our Sunday morning 11 a.m. services are being broadcast live locally on KKMC at 880 on the AM band, and also live worldwide on the internet at our website at BethelMorganHill.org. In addition, there are three other events being broadcast live weekly on the internet, and these are our 10 a.m. Adult Sunday School Now, and the 5 p.m. Sunday service, and our 7:30 p.m. Wednesday evening service. And of course, past Sunday morning worship services and sermons are archived, and you can hear those anytime on our website. As is customary, at this time of the year, there will be no fellowship luncheons on the last Sundays of November and December. Finally, we encourage you to attend our quarterly business meeting, which will follow this service directly. Our scripture reading for the month, printed in your bulletin, is from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 13. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 18, Now Thank We All Our God. Continue our worship with hymn number 527, Thanks to God. Please stand now as we sing hymn number 221, Thank You, Lord.
Just in a moment, we're going to look together in prayer. I just want to bring your attention to three little things. Yesterday, we did have the memorial service for Fred Vitola. Laura was here, David, Gertrude, and many people from the Safeway store here to remember our great brother and the Lord now in the presence of God. The family requested that all the offerings that as a memorial that we collect be sent to two missionaries, Brother Perez and Martha Poretti. And so if you still have to write a check and so on, just write to Bethel Baptist Church Memorial Service, Fred Vitola, and we will be sure to bring it there. Also right here on my left, there, as you walk out, there is the angel tree. There is a lot of people in jail and their children are in home. And last year we did it. And I think if we want to do it again, just pick up one of those little card requests, and there will be a toy or something, a child maybe request, and buy it, and we bring it here. And then I guess we all get together in Gilroy and make a big distribution. We got all the children together and make a big distribution of those gifts. And it is wonderful to know that the ladies have a program to encourage the missionaries for Christmas with an offering. And if you have not returned your box with the offering, today is the last day that American Sunshine will close the bank. And so just give a check to, or whatever offering you bring to Mary, so that we divide it among the missionaries and send it as a great program from the ladies that they do. And we thank the Lord. And sometimes we get $600-$700 for each missionary, and makes the balance of what they are lacking in the mission field. I was in the mission field, and I know when a missionary, without telling us anything, that the offering from the churches did not came. And so he sold his camera, a very wonderful Leica. He sold his camera to get food. And I never forgot that missionary Strickland, a great giant of the Lord. And I know that they are very quiet, and they will never tell the people that they lack something. And so anything we give to missionaries goes 100% to the ministry, and I encourage you. Let's look to the prayer. Father, this morning we come to you in celebration of Thanksgiving. And so, Father, we are commanded 39 times in the scriptures to give thanks unto the Lord. And Father, the Bible tells us for so many things to give thanks, that this morning we're going to dedicate this morning service to give thanks to you for unchangeable things that you have provided. May these things that cannot change and they are the anchor of our life be a challenge to those who have to change every day with new belief and new ways of life. And may our life be peaceful because of that. And may we rejoice and go home with great encouragement, because we do have what most of the world do not have, a solid, an anchor in the person of God. And we are thankful for that. Father, we are thankful for your hand of mercy. I read last week in home, and I need it, and the psalm who said, thy mercies endure forever. And so, Father, whatever we get in sickness or in problems will not stand forever, but thy mercies will endure forever. And so, Father, we are grateful that our sister Nobuko is here with us. She was in a serious surgery, and now she has full recovery. I'm grateful, Father, that you allow me to speak. Yeah, I was affected in the part of my body that I need to use, my mouth. And so, Father, I wonder why. And now I'm in the process of full recovery, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful for Loretta Forrest, who even in bed speaks of her love and her wonder. And I pray for your touch of mercy on her life. And Lord, we have a family flying, perhaps arriving at this moment in San Francisco Airport, Toyang and Henry. They have to make an emergency trip to Korea. because of the sickness of her father. We pray that she may return with encouragement and she may return with the peace of God in her heart. We thank you, Lord, for this great nation called America. As I listen to the speakers in television today, I heard Brother Stanley brought the greatest sermon I ever heard from him on the Bible. And he brought the attention that our country is changing because, not because we have Chinese or Latins or these, the country is changing because the people have let the Bible down. So, Father, help us as a little church as we are to stand always in the truth of thy holy word, who calls for a thanksgiving to God. Lord, bless the offering that we will have in a few minutes, and the giving, because we'll go to the support of the church, because we need a strong local church, a balanced local church, if we're going to have a strong missionaries. And we remember them, Lord, and the land in which they are serving, perhaps there is not a Thanksgiving service. Our brother Fred and Carol Lewis in Siberia, Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, Eusebio and Marixa Perez, Benal Madena in Spain, the Rhodes family in Papua New Guinea, and then the Giovanni family in Guatemala. Lord, for Marta Peretti in Argentina, for Daniel Lacey and the Motorsport Ministry, and for the South Valley Sport Organization that reach the young people. Bless these people with the power from above, that in times of discouragement, they can look up and see the faithfulness of God. You are a faithful God. You are a provider. Lord, this morning we cry, use us so that we can provide for the ministry. And bless us as we praise your name, as the Bible is read. And give me the encouragement, Lord, to preach your word so that I can be away from the sermon, but present with your word. In Jesus I pray. Amen. You may be seated, please.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Book of Psalms. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 371. We will be reading Psalm 92, verses 1 through 15. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 92, the entire psalm. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, O Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high for evermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that he planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Blessed is God's word. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that we can come before you in prayer and worship, because you have given us the greatest gift you had to give, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your great works, by which you've demonstrated your love for us, lowly sinners. We love you, O our Most High God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and thank you for the countless mercies through our Lord Jesus Christ, who saved us from our sins. We pray now for your servant, our pastor and teacher, Gabriel Otero. We thank you for answered prayer for healing, and that he is able to be with us again today. Bless him and his teachings as he comes to deliver your truths from the Scriptures. We pray also for those listening on the radio and internet who have not been reconciled to you, that they would come to believe the gospel of salvation and be saved from their sins. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
I'm so grateful that God has provided a wonderful opportunity of healing so that I can be with you and no agonizing at home this morning. If you look in Psalm 92 and in verse 1, the Bible says, it is a good thing, said the Bible, to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing. I just want to test the waters. And I start asking people here in town. I stopped there in Monterrey in one corner and the other, and ask people what they believe Thanksgiving Day is. It is a religious holiday, or it is a national holiday? Most of the people, especially on the coffee shop and on other parts of this town, told me that it is illegal to have a religious holiday in America. And they understand I'm a foreigner. They said, everybody said that. That must be my way of speaking. So you're a foreigner and you don't understand. And I was my Bible like this, holding like this. So, you know, here the Bible says, David, 4,632 years ago, he said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Can you tell me why America give thanks unto the Lord? Oh, we don't? He said, the one person. Well, we don't thank the Lord? No. What's Thanksgiving? I don't know, he said, but we don't thank the Lord. All right. I went to another person. I got a good Jewish person walking, and he said, yes. And you see the word Lord in capital? That's Jehovah. We thank the God of Israel. I said, so I. He said, well, you don't look like a Jew to me. He said, no, as a matter of fact, I'm the other side of the Jordan. And he really looked at me. He said, and you're thanking this Lord? Yeah, I'm thanking this Lord. Why? Because of Jesus. He ran away. I talked to somebody, and he said, listen, I'm a lawyer. Right there in the coffee shop. He said, I'm a retired lawyer. And I want to tell you, I speak with precision. I was a trial lawyer. So you remind me, a lady, I said, that was traveling with her husband. They want to go to Nakameya, right there out of Hollister. And they were driving, and the husband said, no, you pronounced the name of the place, Nagakaka Nakameya, wrong. So, well, so when we get there, we ask. And so they arrived, and they went to, you know, those fast food stores, and they're sitting in the counter. They were drinking a cup of coffee. Said, lady, please come in. What do you call this place? And the lady looked at them and opened her eyes and said, we call it Burger King. This place where they were. So I said, you mean that kind of precision? He said, yes. Well, I tell you, the Bible tells us the kind of thanksgiving that we should have. It was instituted 200 years after Thanksgiving Day was celebrated. Was celebrated in the year 1600, and was officially recognized in 1863. Abraham Lincoln was the one who recognized Thanksgiving Day. And finally, America wake up, and in 1941, the Congress of the United States make the 4th Thursday of November a day of Thanksgiving. Until there, from 1621, until there, every president has to come at the beginning of the year and announce to the people that on the 4th Thursday of November will be a national Thanksgiving Day. Otherwise, will not be celebrated until the Congress, with the authority according to the Constitution, will place it. And so Thanksgiving Day is not a American holiday, is a religious holiday, whether people like it or not. It is approved by the Congress of the United States, whether the Congress know it or not. The Psalm said, it is good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And people start enumerating things. I ask people, are you thankful? Oh, yes, I got a new job. Oh, yes, I got a new car. I said, but you know, the car is going to get older, so I get another one. Oh, I said, you got a new job, and then 20 years from now, you don't like it anymore. You change jobs. So, well, I know what I believe, and 10 years later, they believe different, and they change. People thanks the Lord for these little things, which is good to say, Lord, thank you for your provision. But don't make this provision the value of Thanksgiving. I want to talk to you this morning about being thankful for chainless things. Things that they are an anchor in your life. That you will believe it at 6, you will believe it at 20, you will believe it at 50, you will believe it when you die. It is not the American Constitution that we are thankful. Change every moment, and it's going to change more and more as more liberals and more people away from God take the office. I'm going to give you a listing of things that we are thankful for, who are chainless in our life, that will impress you and will be a treasure to you. And to you, young people, this will be the anchor of your life. Number one, we are thankful for a chainless person, for a chainless person. Turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 8, page 710, if you are using the Bible that is settled for you in the pew. Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 8, page 710. We, number one, we can give thanks to God this Thursday for a chainless person. You know, people said, I like to vote for so-and-so. And then when he get in office, he changed his mind. No, it's not he changed his mind. He's pressed from every corner, and then he cannot say or do what he can. But this person will never change, and nobody will put pressure on him. Hebrews 13 and verse 8 said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today, and forever. Do we got it clear? Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. Jesus Christ is the same today as he was yesterday and as he will be forever. As you study the life of prophets, Muhammad, Buddha, there were different people at different stages of life. As you look into yourself, you're a different person at different stages of your life. When a person gets older, they said they get mellow. We have a disaster in my home. It was not my sickness. I decided to change. I live in an area where internet cannot be reached, and it's the phone only, and it's bad. Finally, I was walking downtown and I saw a big sign with an older person in the car. And I said, are you an engineer? He said, yes, I'm a retired engineer and I do this once in a while. I said, you want a challenging job? Why don't you come to my home and put a satellite? And he did. He said, a couple hours. But the couple hours were 2 full days. Everything that could be wrong went wrong. When everything was done, all the wiring was done, we checked it, and the wire was short someplace. So we had to change the whole wire system. I came here to the service. The man stayed home working. I went home, and it was 9 o'clock when he finished. And even when everything was complete, we turned it on, we get the image, and it went on and off. We called the company, so we got to travel. Our company is shut off. I really laughed, and he was saying every bad word you can have it. Really bad. I imagine, you know, you only charge me $90, 2 days' work. I said, don't get mad. I said, you don't get mad? No, I said, I learned not to get mad. I said, why? Because I cannot change the things. I cannot change. So why can I get mad? I have a good God who never changed. And he never gave me that hard time like the internet. I opened his word. He was in my library, and there is, I think, 19 Bibles. And he looked into the Bible and said, why so many Bibles? In case I don't get it in one, I get it in the next one. Even when we came here, he didn't know that Raquel, by accident, turned on the alarm, and he walked into the home for the restroom, and the police was at the door. I mean, everything that could be wrong was wrong. You are not mad. No, why should I get mad? Can I change what happened? I can. It's no good to have somebody who never changed. Jesus Christ. We can say that Jesus Christ is the same today as he was yesterday and he will be forever. And why is that important? Let me give you an example. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, page 701. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. Page 701. Look at how important it is to have a mediator, a savior with God that never changes. Suppose that your trust for your spiritual life is in a church. Churches change, they split, divided, and new denominations are coming in. And new ways of believing are coming in. And new ways to heavens are created. But not with Jesus. And 2 Timothy 2:13 said, if we believe not, you know those moments of doubts in your life, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. If we are faithless, he is faithful still. for he cannot disown, said the Greek word there, his own self. What is security of salvation? See, the security of salvation is not in a statement of belief. The security of salvation is because of Jesus. Jesus, my mediator, my Lamb of God, my Savior, he will remain faithful. My salvation doesn't depend on my performance, depends on Jesus' performance. And his performance is constant, is even, never change, never deny me. He's right there for me even when I'm down. I know I'm saved because when I'm down, I say, God, what's happened? And then I recover quickly. God doesn't have to change. He doesn't look Gabriel Otero and say, well, what a great guy, I'm going to save him. He looked Jesus in my heart. And if you have no Jesus in my heart, you can be the best Jewish person, the best Catholic person, the best Protestant person. You can be the best of the best. You're still not saved because you need that constant person, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What makes us saved is not to follow a man, it's to follow Jesus. Because it's in him that God save us and not in us. Religions are created all over the world. If you do these, then God will do these for you. And then you fail, and then you have to do more, and you have to do more. I tell you, once you got Jesus, you don't have to do anything. He did it all. So I'm thankful for a chainless person. I'm thankful that my faith is not in a religion, is not in a denomination, but in a person, and that that person is Jesus Christ, who never changed. Number two, I am thankful for a chainless Bible, for a chainless Bible. You go to the store in the section of philosophy. I love books. As I said many times, if you leave me in a shopping center, you find me in two places, either in a shoe store buying a pair of shoes, or, and I don't know how many pairs of shoes I have because I'm dummy and I buy it because I love shoes. My mother was a shoemaker, and so I get the shoes and I review, and when I find those shoes made by hand, double knot, and go in, oh, I got those. And Raquel complained, but it's all right. Or you find me in a bookstore in the philosophy section, trying to sit down and read what these new guys said. See, philosophers, they change with the centuries. They change with the centuries. And they keep on changing. And when you get a book of philosophy as a guideline for your life, well, what are you going to do 20 years from now? Why the Bible is chainless? Well, turn your Bible to Psalm 119. In verse 89, page 380, Psalm 119, in page 89, in verse 89, page 380. Why the Bible is chainless? Remembers Hitler? He said, no more Bibles. I remember my mother in 1944 praying for Germany because Hitler wanted to take the Jews out and the Bible out. Satan knows. Satan knows that the Bible is the key. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Jehovah, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I'd like to change that word settled for the old Hebrew word. Forever, Jehovah, your word is planted firmly in heaven. It's what is called the Aleph form of a verb who indicate tension and power. Forever, O word of God, thy word is planted firmly in heaven. That's why we do not doubt that this is the word of God. People trying to change this, and I'm afraid of new translations, because I don't know who is behind the mind of those new translators. When the King James Bible was made, there was a problem, and the problem was not to make a new Bible. The problem was the king who said, who is king, me or the Pope? Right there in Rome, and the British, who were at the moment of flourishing in the 1500, the Anglo-Saxon people, they were, they don't like the idea that the Pope in Rome will control the world and tell the government what to do. And so the king said, let's find out, let's translate the Bible, and he got 80 scholars and one grammarian, Erasmus from France, and he said, let's see what God said. That's how the King James came about. Let's see what God said. It's not, oh, let's make it so sweet that everybody understand in a smooth language. When you smooth the language, you can change the meaning. That's what I like the King James. It's a holy document for me. The Bible is forever. Forever settled in heaven. Now, would the New Testament support this idea? If you go to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, page 578, these are the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 24. And verse 35. These are the words of Jesus. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, which is an indication that this earth will come to an end, but my words will not pass away. Because of the unchanging style of God's word, we have a constant path to the knowledge of eternal life. See, if the word of God will change, then your salvation plan will change. If the word of God will change every century, then the way to God will be different every century. But because the word of God doesn't change, the way to God is the same. Remember Romans 10 and verse 17 and page 667? Romans 10 and verse 17. The Bible says very clearly, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if the word of God will change, then there was no faith coming, and the direction will be different than the direction that was set. You know, when you set a transmitter in connection to a satellite, in order for the transmitter to talk to the satellite, you need to have the right axis so that you can be in communication. And I watched this engineer in the roof of my house trying to avoid this post and avoid that tree and avoid these and avoid the other until in his computer there was a signal that we were in tune. And then he secured the equipment, he locked the equipment, and he fine-tuned the equipment until it was clear and sharp and the communication signal was one-to-one. I said to him, well, you got it. That is final. He said, yes, for now. But you know, weather's coming, the bolts get loose, and your roof and the posts maybe move a little. It's just 1 millimeter, which is a fraction of 1/16, that they move. Then you have these difficulties in your computer because they move and they lose the axis. Boy, my good friend, this is the axis right here. Bible is the axis that communicate with you with God. And you don't have to worry. There is no bolts that are going to get loose. You just read it today, tomorrow, and until you die, and always will have a straight line with a satellite in heaven that communicates you with God. What a fortune people we are, I thought, that we can read the Bible, and the Bible is always in tune with that place
in heaven. Can you imagine if you have to read religious books? Every century will be a new idea. If you have to read the denominational books, there are people in the Reformation that they wrote the great confessions. And there were no documents for the church. There were documents against Roman Catholicism. But then, little by little, the churches, the Lutheran church, the Presbyterian church, the Christian Reformed church, the Church of Holland, they all get those documents, and these are the things that bring us to God. Wrong! These are the things that bring us to God. The Bible. The Bible. Those documents were good fighting documents for that time, 500 years ago. But 500 years ago and today, there is only one document that brings you a straight line to heaven, is the Bible. We thank God for a chainless Bible. Also, we thank God for a chainless salvation plan. A chainless salvation plan. People tell me, as I mingle with them, so, well, you know, somebody said this is the way to heaven. And the Arabs, they have Muhammad as the way to heaven. In India, you go in the north, you have the Hindu with Buddha and the way to heaven. Even in Christianity, they said, they are so divided, the Christendom, that everybody have a way to heaven. Which way do we go? I said. And they say, we don't know. Depend who are your friends and where you live. No, sir. Wherever you live, you can be sure there is only one way. Open your Bible in John 10, please. Look at what the Bible says about salvation. John 10, verse 27 to 30, and page 630. And these are the words of Jesus. And I guarantee to you, they were good at the moment they were spoken 2,000 years ago. They are good today, and they will be good until God takes away this earth. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep, S-H-E-E-P, hear my voice. And Jesus said, I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Now, Dr. McCormack was reading to all of us on Friday on the boys' breakfast a document from a magazine that there was no eternal life, that the soul is no eternal. And look at what they said here. And I give unto them eternal life. See, Jehovah's Witness has created a way to heaven without eternal life. There is no way to heaven without eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Why? You and I will never perish, will never be out of God because we are Baptists? No, look at the verse that follows. Look at it. My Father, which gave them to me. See, you are saved because you are a gift of God the Father to God the Son. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Do you see your salvation? Your salvation is a gift of God. God the Father said, today, that person is going to be saved and is going to go to Jesus. And you, Jesus, will take that person and that's it. That's lock on it. How that happened? Well, it's very simple. You are in charge. You hear the word of God. Somebody give you a tract with some verses. You have a friend who talked to you about the Lord Jesus. All of these things happen right here. And what I'm telling you is what happened in heaven. What happened on earth is you hear a sermon and you receive Jesus into your heart. But you know why you did it? I tell you the secret. You did it because God the Father said, hey, touch the life of so-and-so. And Jesus, when he comes to you, just bundle him in the blood of Calvary. Isn't that beautiful? See, now, when you are saved in your way, certainly there is no security. And certainly there is doubts. And certainly there is a puzzle in your life. But my friend, I thank God for a chainless salvation plan. Each time there's somebody truly, truly is saved, it's because God the Father and God the Son said, that's it, done. And then you receive the experience. Yesterday in the memorial service, I got the pleasure to listen what people have to say. And my wife and I were blessed by our brother Quay. Very, very. When do you hear Quay standing and speaking? When Quay is stood and dressed in a suit like a gentleman and spoke and said, it's going to be heavy. And it was. You know what was his experience, the key experience for the Kong family to be here in our church? It was because after they visit our church, Brother Fred Vitola and Laura visit Quay and Maida. And you know what moved him? Was not the tremendous understanding of the Hebrew language. Was not this catalogical point in how Christ is going to come and what the church is going to go. You know what it was? How Fred Vitola's life was changed by God's word. Quay said there are hundreds of churches who are very loving. The few churches where people's life are changed because of God's word. Russell said this morning here, Pastor, as he introduced the Sunday school, we are small, and in large churches, people don't know who the teachers are, and that's true. We're a family. Yes, Russell, you're right. We're a family. A family in which I am concerned that your life is changed by the word of God. Because if your life is not changed by the word of God, there is no salvation. If you're still with the old life. Now, my wife thinks that, watch out with your old life, you got to watch a soccer game. But that's not the case. You can watch a soccer game and be holy. I tell you. What happened is this, when your desires are more in the world than in God, then there is something wrong. When your money is more in the world than in the ministry of God's people, one day we're going to build big. Simple. Because I don't want your money to be spent in bricks and roof. I want your money to be spent in life of missionaries who will tell other people what Christ Jesus is. Meantime, we need a strong church, supported, level in their budget, so that we can do that. But your money is not going into Social Security for the pastor, into insurance for this, and your money go 100% into the ministry. Thank God, and Russ, you're right, thank God that because we're a family, and you put up with this, because some of you did the certificate, and some of you write the bulletins, and some of you do this, and some of you do the other, because you are part of the ministry, now we can use all the resources for the kingdom of God. Why? Because we believe in a chainless plan. We believe that as we preach the Word of God will bring salvation because God is in business to save. Not because people want to be saved. No, nobody wants to be saved. But God will save them even if they want or not. Isn't that beautiful? That's why this coming year, I will say to the business meeting, I'm going to be the most aggressive pastor, the pastor that I was in 74 when I was in seminary, the most aggressive pastor on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I know that God saves. A chainless salvation. Now we also have a chainless hope. A chainless hope. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. And let me read for you verse 13 to 18, page 696. Page 696. 1 Thessalonians 4. Here is the hope of the believer. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those things who have fallen asleep, concerning those, excuse me, those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. To fall asleep is not just to fall asleep in your car, it's to be dead in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Now 14. For, here's the condition. For if these, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus, those who die in him. For these we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. See, Paul thought, well, the Lord's going to come in my time. And I'm going to be alive and he's going to come down. But we will not be first. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And the earth never saw something like that. All the cemeteries open. Those ashes of those who were cremated, like Brother Vitola, they will back together. I mean, fascinating. You like those movies, you know, they go, oh, this one is fascinating. I wish I could make a movie with that. All the powder, you know, you're walking like this and suddenly somebody's standing by you. What's going on? I wrote to Hollywood, can we make a movie like that? Look at that. Then, said verse 17, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Suddenly, you're going to see this, and in a twinkle of an eye, boom, you move. Therefore, I like verse 14. You know that everybody fights with this doctrine. But look at what the Bible says. Therefore, comfort one another with this word. The comfort of the departure of Brother Vitola is that one day we're going to be with Brother Vitola. The comfort of I lost my mother, one day I'm going to be with my mother. The comfort of someone beloved to you that you lost it and now it's gone, one day you're going to be with them. We believers have a chainless hope. This will never change. How is it going to be? Are they going to come with one leg or two legs? So who cares how they're going to come? You know, theology is funny. They try as well, the Lord come 10 seconds or 20 seconds. Don't worry how, but worry that you know that you're going to live forever with the Lord. A chainless hope. So what's the conclusion? Psalm 107 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. And now look at verse 2 is the key in Psalm 107. Let the United States of America say so. Is that what the Bible said? No, look at what. Look at what the Bible says. Let the redeemed of Jehovah say so, whom he has redeemed from the hands of the enemy and thy Satan. My friend and beloved member of Bethel Baptist Church, I guarantee it that this Thanksgiving Day, we should have a joy that nobody has. Some people call Thanksgiving the day of football, the day of the turkey. We call the day that we remember that we are on solid ground. Not because we live in America, a blessed country. We are on solid ground because we believe in God who is eternal. We have been saved by God, empowered by God, protected by God. And now one day we're going to be taken by God. Who can have better life than we do? Doesn't matter if you have a black suit, a blue suit, no suit at all. Who cares about that? What really cares is, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe? And you who listen over the air, I want to tell you, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you don't know how, why don't you write to me? I'll tell you how. The only way to heaven is by that person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you said, I hate Jesus, like somebody told me here, I said, don't worry, he doesn't hate you, and that's the good part. He said, really? Yeah. Yeah. But if you do not believe in him, one day he'll burn you in hell. And the problem is not burning you in hell. It's that you never will be burned. You will keep on burning. Keep on burning. And you will never be ashes. You will like this. I was doing that in the street, and I don't know how the police don't took me, but I tell you. I'm going to preach the gospel door by door, street by street. They need to know that if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus, you are going to hell. We are so busy in America, elections, new governor, and this. We put the hope in just tiny little things. Let's put the hope in those things who cannot be changed. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that this Thanksgiving Day, yes, we're going to thank you for your provision. We're going to be thankful for your care upon our health. But above all, Father, we're going to be thankful that we have a life solid because it's seated on the precious stone of Jesus, our Lord. We thank you, Lord, that Abraham was the father of our faith. David, a picture of the King of Kings, and Jesus, the glory. Lord, help us to move our eyes this Thanksgiving Day from the things that we possess and from the things that we do, and thank you for what you have done for us. You save us out of ashes. You revive our bones when we're dead, and now we love you. Lord, do us well with those that you elected before the foundation of the world. And we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
From ransomed men of tender heart, whose souls you taught to see, your children lift their voice to you with thanks for all these things. From mountain heights and vaulted skies, your end is clearly seen. We cast our praise with nature's cry to God. Oh, dear.
Oriel, it's always a pleasure to listen to Miss Oriel with her sweetness and her power. Will you stand, please, for the benediction? Right after the benediction, pastor will walk and greet and be back for the annual. This is the annual business meeting of our church, and I appreciate it if you stay here. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Sometimes what I preached this morning, we know it, but sometimes escapes from our fingers. We are so involved in life, so busy in the affairs of life, that sometimes we forget what we know. Lord, it's so beautiful to know that the things that we believe are solid, that your Bible is just precious, that our direction to heaven will never change. We have no options. There is only one way to heaven, the Lord Jesus. And there is one way to get there, by faith. And we have believed it. And I pray, Lord, that those who listen and have not believed it, that you will cause them to believe and to take Jesus into their heart, to receive that Jesus as a whole of their life. And after they receive it, that they be open their eyes and see that what happened to them is because of the love of God and the compassion of God the Father and the love of God the Son. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation that we enjoy. Help us to pass it on to the entire world. In Jesus we pray. Amen.